Welcome to another Carlo and Lowe Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin. Now, Rob, I've got a question for you. If I said to you, give it some jandal, what country would I be in? Or what country would I have come from to say, give it some jandal?
Give it some jandal sounds like acceleration in a car. Is that correct?
It is, yeah. That's what it means. Give it some jandal.
Sounds like Brazilian or or South African.
Bit closer to home, bit closer to Australia.
Tasmania?
That is part of Australia, Rob. Believe it or not.
Fiji?
A slightly bigger country. A lot of them end up in Australia. We claim a lot of them as Australian.
New Zealand.
In New Zealand, you've got it. So I want to talk about, we're going to talk about motorsport. You know, one of my favourite sports, and of course yours as well, isn't it? Right up there with baseball.
As long as we talk about Scott McLaughlin, I've got no problems.
Well, that's who, of course, we want to talk about. And Scott McLaughlin, probably for V8 supercar fans, made that saying probably... not in tradition, but certainly we would say give it a bit of right foot or give it a bit of boot. But he came out in 2014 here in Adelaide in the Adelaide 500 and second year racing it was. He'd just started the year before in the V8s.
How old was he, about 20?
He was 20 then.
20, yeah.
He won his first race back in 2013 in his first year and his sixth race in. He's the youngest ever person to win a V8 supercar.
Wow.
But in this race in Adelaide, it was the opening race. Van Gisbergen and the Red Bull team, which of course dominated V8s for a long time. McLaughlin was racing for Gary Rogers Motorsport, who's been a long-time owner of a team and often brought in young rookies and sort of got them going in their careers, which he's done, of course, with Scott McLaughlin. And they were racing Volvos back then.
Volvo.
Yeah, so for a period of time, they were trying to introduce a bit more of the different brands into V8 supercars rather than just Ford and Holden. And they actually had Volvos racing, which were quite successful, and also they had Nissan. So they had four different brands back then. They've gone now only back to Ford and Holden, or actually Chevrolet and Ford.
You know, when they drive the Volvo, do they wear those hats?
Well, funny thing was, Gary Rogers is a bit of a funny bloke, and he would actually dress up like that to make a bit of fun of that sort of way that people thought of Volvo drivers. But in this particular race, Van Gisbergen was a fair way out in front. But Jamie Wincup, who at the time was five-time champion, and he's a young bloke, they're neck and neck. And going into the last lap, Wincup was right on McLaughlin's tail all the way through, and coming into the last sort of set of corners actually passed him. And so they thought, oh, okay, we've got a Red Bull 1 and 2. But just coming onto the main straight, Wincup went a little bit wide. McLaughlin come on the inside and had a drag race to the finish line, and McLaughlin beat him. And, of course, in the when they did the podium and did the interviews, he made it very famous by saying, yep. And he actually had some expletives in there, which I won't do, but he basically said, I just put it in first gear and gave it some jandal and then swore. And the crowd loved it. Like, he became an instant crowd favourite because the grandstand just erupted. And here's this young bloke who just says it as it is. And people really loved it. But from that 2014, he went on to end up being a three-time V8 supercar champion, like massive number of poles. He was just one of the best drivers we've had. He moved from Gary Rogers Motorsport, which a lot of the young guys do, and he ended up with Dick Johnson Racing, which became Penske. Do you know that name, Penske? Roger Penske, have you heard that? It's a famous name in racing.
Well, you know, did he play baseball? Because if he played baseball,
he probably had a relative in America that played baseball. But Roger Penske and Penske Racing is a massive racing team in America, and in fact they were in Formula One as well. So they're well known around the world. But Roger Penske actually bought into Dick Johnson Racing. Of course, Dick Johnson is a, you know, Australian icon in racing here in Australia. So all of a sudden they had this very strong team, and Shell sponsored them. So it was Ford, Penske, Shell Racing, and they actually signed up McLaughlin because he was clearly the best young driver coming through. Now, with that backing of that team, he went on to win the championship three times in a row, 2018, 19, and 20, just dominated the sport, really. And then, of course, Penske have their IndyCar racing.
What about COVID? Did that affect the racing?
A little bit, but not too much. Like, they just had a bit of a break in the season and had their bubbles like the other sports, but they were okay. But he went off to America, and last year was his rookie year racing for Penske IndyCar. And IndyCar, what would be the most famous race that you would know from America?
Indianapolis 500.
Yeah, the Indy 500. And so that's the big oval track, obviously. But in the IndyCar series, they're very similar to their single seat open wheeler cars. People would compare them to Formula One, but probably Formula One's technologically a bit more advanced. But of course, they race oval track, which is very different for a lot of races, from especially from Australia. And they also have their circuit tracks. And fabulously, on the weekend, McLaughlin actually won his first race of the year in his second year. He actually won in St. Petersburg, Florida. So great achievement.
You know, you talk about oval type tracks. I remember as a teenager going to Virginia Oval, and they used to race around there.
They did, and so and they had one in Calder. Actually, they set up a Thunderdome, they called it, in Victoria. So at Calder Racetrack, they actually had a dome, and they used to race NASCAR, their Australian version of NASCAR. Yeah, I remember going out as a young kid, and my dad actually raced his sprint car, believe it or not, which are normally dirt tracks. But they actually had a weekend where they went down to Adelaide International and they raced the sprint cars around the bowl there, the dome.
Do they still sort of race down there?
No, it's been under construction. They haven't, because they did sell it. Bob James sold it, and it was used for drag racing and also for...
This is Adelaide International.
Adelaide International Raceway, that's right. And so it's sort of... There's been people trying to develop it, but with the stuff going up in Tail and Bend, of course, the great tracks up there, and that's now going to have a drag track up there. So it's probably been put on the back burner, unfortunately.
And what about up at Angaston Way? They race, is it Collingsgrove
Hill Climb, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. What type of racing is that?
Well, that's hill climb is a very different thing. So it's like a time trial, but you're obviously going up a hill, and the track is quite windy, very narrow. I've been up there a few times to watch that, and they do all sorts up there. So they have classic days where all the classic cars go up there. They have other days where I've been up there where there's just all sorts of cars and motorbikes, sidecars, the whole lot. So it's quite an interesting day, not far out from Angaston. Beautiful spot up there. And so if anyone ever sees when the hill climbs are on, and they actually have days where people can go up there and nominate and have a go. You can get your license for a day and have a drive.
Did you ever do the... go down and see the speedway down off Torrens Road there?
Oh, yeah. Rolly Park.
Yeah, Rolly Park.
That's where I spent my youth.
Yeah.
Young kid, Friday, every Friday night, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when you think about it, of course, we had Formula One before the supercars around the Adelaide streets. We're almost like the capital of racing, aren't we?
Well, we were.
Yeah.
And interesting, with the election coming up, I mean, Liberal have obviously taken a certain way with and getting rid of the Adelaide 500, which for, you know, race car, I mean, of course, we'll have our different interests, and I get it that not everyone's, it does have a big disruption in the city, but, you know, that brought a lot of people into the city, a lot of money, and, of course, Labor are saying, hey, if they get in, they're going to bring that back. So, but, of course, the track up in Tail and Bend is fabulous as well. That's had some really good racing, and that's a great opportunity for people in SA. So you've got that sort of stuff going on, but like in lots of racing, like having those street races, especially in a city, you sort of can't beat them. Monaco, think of all around the world where you've got these famous race circuits, and Adelaide for V8s was one of them.
And, of course, on a lesser scale, you know, the Tour Down Under with the push bikes around Adelaide streets, that was always popular. And the marathon, people used to run through the streets of Adelaide, and it always attracts a crowd. So I suppose with the especially when the Formula One, you know, used to have George Harris and all types of world figures, you know, used to come out and watch the race.
Yeah, well, Formula One, and that's like, it's interesting. I've been getting into Formula One, as you know, the last few years, especially with Daniel Ricciardo, who I really enjoy him as his personality and the way he goes about his business. But following him as an Australian racer, and IndyCar, I haven't really followed much. But with Scott McLaughlin, I've had a little bit more interest, and to see him win on the weekend, and to see the joy, and like, he was just so ecstatic. And I listened to his interviews after, and he was fabulous. So, and he's just that young bloke who just. I mean, again, isn't it funny? We always claim New Zealanders when they do well, but if they don't, we say they're from New Zealand. But he's clearly a New Zealander, but grew up racing in Australia and New Zealand, and now he's leading the IndyCar series after round one, so that's fabulous. But Formula One is also kicked off, and the great thing about Formula One this year is that they've brought in a whole range of new, it's basically a new car. And so they had their first testing in Barcelona last week into the weekend. And, of course, there's a lot of excitement in Formula One when you're unveiling the cars anyway, because they've got their new paint jobs or livery, they call them, and so on, and they make a big gala of that. But now with a new car coming in and all this different technology that they have to use, they kept a lot of things under wrap. So they released their cars, but some of them were just digital renderings. And a lot of them were very just generic cars, not the actual cars that they'll race, because, of course, the amount of development that goes into technology in Formula One is amazing.
You know, I'm not a motorsport fan per se. I mean, I keep my eye on it. But, when you look back when you're younger, I mean, of course, it was Jack Brabham, who was very famous. I think his sons were as well. Alan Jones, when he was racing in the first Grand Prix in Adelaide Formula One in 1985.
1980 World Champion, F1 World Champion for Williams, yep.
And he was driving for Ferrari, a red Ferrari. I've got a photo of that, and it sort of sticks in my mind. And then you've got, I remember the Bluebird was it Donald Campbell? He broke the
land speed record.
And of course, my favourite car, the Batmobile in the old Batman series back in the 60s.
Well, people have rebuilt that now. There's people who've actually rebuilt them from scratch. Quite interesting. But I don't think they ever raced the Batmobile.
Oh, I've seen it race through the streets of New York. Gotham.
Yeah, but that's a little bit different.
But, I suppose the boy in all of us sort of look at cars and, fast cars. I mean, it's always sort of there in the back of the mind, but some of us like yourself really get hooked into it. And I don't blame you.
Yeah, well, we all have our interests. I mean, I grew up around muscle cars, hot cars. My dad and mum were into that sort of stuff, and our whole family are still. And of course, dad raced sprint cars, and so spending all your time at Rolly Park or down the drag strip, which we enjoyed doing. So if you grow up with that sort of stuff, it becomes part of your interests. And I know some people say cars are just get you from A to B, and I understand that too. I don't have interest in some things, but I have interest in others. So, but if you're into cars, you always have, there's so much stuff now. There's so much opportunity because it's big money to race.
Well, being such a car person, can you tell me what the first car built in South Australia was?
Built in South Australia?
Yes.
So not bought into, but built in South Australia?
Yes.
Well,
from scratch.
I'm going to say it's probably a Holden, and it was in 1948. People would say the FX, but it's actually a different code. It was the FX became the model that was then built, but it's actually prior to that. I can't remember the code off the top of my head, but I think there were two built that were the sort of prototypes for that the FX and the FJ.
Well, if you're going to talk about Holdens, of course, Holden Company itself started as a saddlery and horse and cart and things like that, but there was actually a car built in the 1890s by David Shearer up at Manham. And it was a steam car, and it drove through the city. Of course,
I thought we were talking production cars. I didn't realise we were talking one-off,
Well, David Shearer's brother was my great-great-grandfather, so it's been in the family.
The car has?
No, it's down at Burwood, actually.
No wonder you take so long to get one place there. They keep driving that thing.
No, but the stories about the car remained in the family. And so I suppose not being a racing fan really goes against the grain, because cars were very important in the family line.
Well, and obviously that's a fabulous story. And, you think, where would we be without transport? I mean, I know this is using transport for a completely different thing, but even a lot of the technology that begins in places like Formula One actually ends up, I mean, you've got Ferrari, you've got your Mercedes, I mean, you've got all those manufacturers McLaren, for example, who are racing, and the technology that they've developed over time in Formula One has ended up in their actual production cars. So, and even now, interesting with Formula One, they have a V6. It's a 1.6 litre engine, okay? That's small, yeah?
Yeah.
It's turbocharged, but it's a hybrid engine, so it has a battery as well. These things can generate 700, 800, 900 horsepower, 1.6 litre. And this year they're going to biofuels, so they're actually saying, hey, as a racing organisation, we want to look after the environment and we want to make sure our cars, even though they are technologically advanced, are more akin to the type of technology that might end up in production cars.
You know, we've almost gone full circle, because they're introducing driverless cars. And whether we go to the racing, reminds me, in the 1960s, the slot cars we used to play.
You reckon we'll just have big slot cars, right? I don't think I have a real interest in that. I know my young nephew is a very good slot car racer. He loves it, and I've been a few times to watch him. It's really interesting because they have it in these big sheds at Paraka, and the tracks are amazing, like they're huge. And these guys and girls spend a lot of time and effort preparing their cars. So it is, slot car racing is very interesting as well.
Well, that's a good note to finish on.
It is.
So into another Carlin Lowe Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.